You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
That's the law. You have to. If you kill the bear, you have to fuck its mate. Even if you kill the female, you have to gay bear sex with the male.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in San Antonio, Texas. This is the Social Hour. On today's show, paranormal expert and host of Codega's Codex of Curiosities, Ry Voss. And now your host. During his sophomore year of college, he was curious too, but his family's Catholic, so he knew they just wouldn't understand. Dice Casillas.
Malab Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out, guys. We appreciate you coming back around. We have a fun episode for you. Before we get into it with our guest, as always, go to DeeceComedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Live shows. We've got the podcast back weekly, finally, in 2024 after a bumpy 2023 with me moving across the country and a million other things going on, but back on schedule every Wednesday, and the tour kicking off in a couple weeks, so get your tickets now. I'll be in San Antonio, Texas, doing a little spot at Artisan Downtown for next couple weeks, then I'll be in Abilene, Texas on April 1st, and then kicking off the big tour in the Northwest on April 12th. So tickets are on sale now. You know where to find them. Go check it out. Come see me. I'll be all over the country for the rest of the year. So come see me sooner than later, because towards the end of the year, I'm just fucking tired. But it's going to be fun. Anyway, guys. Oh, and the special is still available. We've got our promo running still. You can get it for, you name the price. It is donation only, so you can pay as little as you want or as much as you want, and you'll get the full hour filmed last year at Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. So check that out. It's on the website, and watch it, love it. We've been getting a lot of great feedback, so I appreciate everyone who's taken the time to give it a whirl. And that's it for my jazz today. We're going to get into it with our guest. He is the host of the Codega's Codex of Curiosity show. We're going to find all of it about that, because it's a lot. Please welcome Ry Voss. Ry, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dees. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And where are you? You're in Arizona, is that right?
No, I'm actually in Mexico. Not New Mexico, but old Mexico.
Where at in Mexico are you?
I'm in the Yucatan Peninsula in the state of Campeche, right on the Gulf of Mexico.
Got it. Okay, so you live down there full time?
I live down there full time. Yeah, I've been down here now for 2.5 years.
What, felony on the run from the feds, child support, what?
All the above, okay, but cool. Particularly my wife is from here, so we moved back.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Right on. You like it down there?
I do. Things are a little more laid back, a little less expensive, and just a better way of life, in my opinion.
I agree. I lived in Mexico for a while. I am Hispanic. My family's from Oaxaca, actually.
And beautiful state.
Yeah. I love it down there, but I actually spend a lot of time in Central America, like Costa Rica and Belize. I own some property in Costa Rica and probably split in time sooner than later. So
nice. Costa Rica is beautiful. I've been down there a couple of times. That's a whole other story unto itself and how I got down there, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm good with not being in America as much as I was. So
yep. Yeah. For me, I'm a Canadian originally, and I just rather be down here.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. From Canada to Mexico, huh?
Yep.
What a contrast.
Exactly. It was a, yeah. And, you know, I was happy to give up those winters as well. You know, 6 months of snow in winter is not my kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Canada seems like it's got some crazy stuff going on these days anyway.
Yep, to say the least.
I mean, I guess it depends on where someone falls on the political spectrum, but even I feel like...
But if you're saying that, then yes, 100%, I agree with you. Yeah, it was time to leave.
It's almost like I'm, you know, yeah, just marching brainlessly. I'm not sure. I mean, not like America's a far behind on stuff, but man, Canada's certainly on the vanguard.
Yeah, we're sure leading the way of stupidity lately. It's... Yeah, it's ridiculous. I used to, in the past, used to be proud to call myself Canadian. Now it's kind of an embarrassment, in my opinion.
Yeah, they were always like America, but better than us, you know? And now...
And we always said please or sorry as well, but yeah. Now...
And now, you know, the censorship and they want to, you know, yep. They're like basically communist China censoring the internet and what they can do and see, and it's like, oh boy, yep. Oh boy.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's just... being more or less allowed. It's like sure we'll just bend over and we'll take it, you know. And I did my fair share of protesting actually before I left, because I just couldn't have enough of that.
Good for you. Well, I don't blame you for getting out then, because it's COVID and what's his name, Trudeau, and it just went fucking nuts.
True dump. Yes.
Yeah. It's so funny. Everywhere, no matter what country you're in, they're divided on the ideas.
That's exactly it. It's these huge divisions, and they're creating these huge divisions. And it's if we would all realize that we almost wanted more or less some same thing, you know, we could get together and get rid of the governments and actually do something, do some good.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. I am not a staunch libertarian as far as American Amen. Politics.
And people don't understand what libertarian means. They think you say, when you say libertarian, they think you mean liberal, but it's like, no.
Yeah.
It's not that at all.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's fairly socially liberal, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, and or maybe more socially tolerant than something. Because like, yeah, do whatever you want, but also, you know, we've got to have some personal responsibility. And but yeah, I'll never vote for a major political party again. I just can't do it. So
I totally understand. I'd rather just throw my vote away at this point. You know, it's kind of like, are we really voting anymore, or is it just all staged? Yeah. And God.
Well, it was one election. I won't say what won, but there was an election, you know, and there's only been so many I could vote for, so people could probably figure it out eventually. But there was one election and I voted for what I considered the lesser of two evils. And after that, as soon as I cast my ballot, I felt bad for what I did, and not that I wanted the other person to win, but I didn't want the person I voted for to win either. I just wanted them to win slightly more than the other person, and I'm like, I will never ever do that again, you know.
I know people always say, well, you got to vote strategically, and I'm like, no, I want to vote who I want to vote for, right. And it's none of those guys.
It's like funny how they've gamed the system to where you don't get to vote for who you want to, you have to vote strategically. Like that's funny how that works, right?
Exactly.
In their favor.
Always.
Anyway,
let's bring this back on track.
That's a whole other podcast I could do. But you are the host of the Codega's Codex of Curiosities show. It is a paranormal themed show. Tell us about this show and tell us how you ended up hosting this show.
Okay. So yeah, it's kind of like a high strangeness, everything that is weird under the sun kind of falls under my umbrella. And the show, you know, I do everything from cryptids, which are, you know, Bigfoot, Mothman, Dogman, werewolf, aliens. I do UFOs, abductions,
all that stuff.
The orang
pendek, is that what he's called? It's that swamp. I mean, it's like in Thailand, there's like this what they also call the swamp ape.
I have not heard that at all, actually. Yeah. See, it's always learning new stuff. You're always learning new stuff.
It's like their version of Bigfoot, essentially. Orang pendek or swamp ape, I think is colloquially they call it, but yeah.
Nice. Yeah, so it's everything like that. And literally the one I just did last week was... probably the strangest interview I've ever done in my life. This guy had the strangest experience ever. And it was really interesting just to hear these stories. And how I got into this, well, I've experienced paranormal all my life. So it's kind of like, yeah, I could be interviewed by myself on this show for all the experiences that I've had. And I just kind of followed that that path as well. Is like, well, I really, you know, I listen to these other podcasts and I'm like, I love listening to other people's stories. And I'm like, this is super interesting. So why don't I interview people and hear their stories? Why don't they tell me their experiences? And as much as I don't like calling it a story, you know, we do pass on our history through our stories. Like, yeah. I don't want to lessen it by saying it's a story because these are their experiences. But in reality, yes, these are our stories. This is what we do to pass on our history. So it's quite the experience, quite the ride. I had a previous show with a partner, but we had different work ethics and I had a little more drive and I wanted to go on further. And so we just split recently, January, beginning of the new year, new beginning. Then, sure. So I began this, my new show, Codega's Codex of Curiosities, which is a mouthful. Sometimes I wonder why I chose all that, but it all has a meaning. It all has a meaning, which I like that.
So you said you've experienced paranormal all your life. Yeah. What's quantify that, and what, you know, are we talking about you've seen a Bigfoot or you've seen UFOs or ghosts? What is your experiences?
So my experiences would be pretty much like, as in paranormal, I refer to paranormal as in ghostly kind of spiritual type encounters. Ever since I was young, I've seen things. There was one house that I grew up in where there was numerous experiences that my whole family had. It wasn't like it was an old house. It was a brand new home that we built, but perhaps it was built on some land that maybe it shouldn't have been. And yeah. The most memorable experience that I had was I was about the age of 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I had just come home with being out with my friends and not drinking or anything. You know, I always have to say that because some people are like, oh, well, you were no. Was not drinking. Come home, and I remember the Northern Lights were out in full force. So I remember sitting outside for about 10, 15 minutes watching the Northern Lights and just watching them dance across the sky. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. But I got to work early in the morning, so I better get my butt to bed. So I'm lying in bed, and of course, I'm still living at home with my parents. Not that that accounts in any of this, but I'm lying in bed and I'm tossing and turning, looking at the clock. And you know, when you got to work early in the morning and you watching the clock, you're like, well, if I fall asleep now, I got 7 hours and 23 minutes of sleep, or then it's like 6 hours and something. And yeah, it was getting down there. I think it was around, I was getting closer to around 5 hours and some time, you know, 5 hours and change before I had to wake up. And it was at that point, I just got this. And a lot of people will say this, like just to look or to do this or to go there. For me, it was just to kind of roll on my back and look up. And when I did that, floating above me about 3 feet, I had seen a head. So you can see the completely outline of a head, shoulders, torso. Around the waist is when it faded off into a wispy smoke. And wispy, I mean like a white smoke, like Hollywood style type ghost almost. Sure. But the rest of the body was blacker than black. It was like kind of sucking the light into it. So it was so black, like my room was dark, but this thing was so black. And you know, I'm lying there terrified, but that wasn't the most terrifying thing. The most terrifying thing was the eyes. Now the eyes of this creature, this thing, were glowing red. And I don't mean like flashlights glowing like that, but there was this luminescent glow to them. And it was like the whole cornea pupil of the eye was red. Not the, I couldn't see the whites, but it was about the size of a marble, and they're glowing this red and just staring at me. And I laid there, and you know, everybody comes up with you know, you either have like the fight, flight, or freeze. And for me, it was freeze. So I just laid there. I was frozen, stiff as a board, you know, scared stiff, as people would say. And probably about, it was only there for maybe 3 to 5 seconds, enough that, you know, blink and it's still there. It's not going anywhere. And then it just disappeared. Hmm. Now, how long I stayed there for, laying in that position without sleeping, I could not tell you. All I know is I woke up in the morning then. It was then I was just like, I was just stuck in that position. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in the morning to my alarm going off to go to work.
Yeah.
So that was probably the most terrifying experience I've had. And of course, I'm not telling anybody at that time. That's like what the hell just happened? You know, I'm running it over in my head. What just happened? And prior to that, I've had other experiences, but nothing like that.
Yeah. Nothing severe.
Yeah. So it was years before I actually started telling people. And even then, some people are like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, no one takes you serious. A lot of people don't want to take you serious because it will then kind of change their reality. Mm-hmm. So if I accept that there's something that I don't believe in out there, then my whole view on reality has to change. So a lot of people will deny that these things occur, not for the fact that maybe they don't believe it, but it'll change how they see reality and everything about their life will have to change because they now know that there's something more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, if it's not something you believe in or want to face, there's fear involved. There's, questioning your religion, your place in this world, this universe. There's mm-hmm. a million things. So in your perspective and your experience with something like this, what do you, if you had to surmise what that thing was, what would you say it was? Where is, you know?
Okay. So one part I did not tell about this story was prior to that, maybe 2 years prior to that, we decided it would be a good idea to start playing with a Ouija board, And my personal understanding now on Ouija board and Ouija boards, I forget how, Ouija board, is that's a terrible word, that they open a gateway. They open a door to the other side.
Sure.
Now, what's on the other side is you have no idea. You know, it could be your grandma saying, hi, it's your grandma, but it could be some other entity, some other demon saying, hi, I'm your grandma. And how are you to know? You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually believe that there was something already prior going on to this in this house. But I believe we kind of opened a can of worms that maybe we shouldn't have. And I believe that this was, some people will call this a shadow being. Some people say a shadow person, but a person means that it was a human before. I actually don't believe that. I believe a shadow being is some sort of entity, some sort of, I don't want to say demon, but it's along that line.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I believe it was. And I totally believe that they, and you'll hear this a lot, that these things will feed off of fear, which kind of ties into, you know, Hollywood giving us soft disclosure, you know, showing us the truth in plain sight. So if you look at like Monsters, Inc., how, you know, they're harnessing children's fear to give them energy. Well, that's kind of in, I think that's the truth. I really believe that some of these entities are there just to grab your fear and, you know, it empowers them. So that is what it is.
So you, in your opinion, these are an actual, you know, and when I say physical, I don't mean something you can necessarily grab, but a physical being that lives in between our realm and another realm or something of that nature. So let me float an idea by you. This is a theory I still have. So are you familiar at all with like string theory, quantum physics, kind of?
A little bit, but if you want to refresh, because it's kind of funny because I was looking into string theory maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, but it's, I probably need a quick Cole's Notes or refresher.
So this is in no way trying to imply that I am extremely knowledgeable about string theory or quantum physics. It interests me and I try to read up on about it and then I feel very dumb and I try to keep reading about it. It's very, very complicated, obviously. And I, you know,
of course.
I'm a Mexican with a GED, so I have limited scope to maintain, but it's interesting. And one of the things that, you know, is really interesting to me is parallel realities and the idea of infinite parallel realities. And the way they describe it is there's actually parallel realities kind of all, say, like, layered on top of each other, you know? Like, take, say, like a loaf of bread, you know, and you stand it up, and they're just like, boop, 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 and each loaf is a reality where something's happening in perpetuity. I have this theory that a lot, if not all, of what people see when it's ghosts, paranormal, things like that, it's more ghosts than, you know, wraiths and that type of thing, is actually realities bumping into each other. And when they kind of inadvertently bump into each other, that reaction is you're now in their reality, they're now in your reality. And that's why there's a wide variety of reactions, wide variety of beings you see. Oftentimes they're in the same place you are. Oftentimes there's a reason they're reacting so big, because you're also perhaps a ghost to them in their reality. You know, in simple terms.
So I think that's a fantastic theory, and it's something I've, you know, ran through as well. And I believe that there is, you know, credence to that theory as well. Like, I believe that it's a great idea. Do I believe it? I don't know. Because truly, you know, when someone, I kind of get disappointed when people call themselves experts, because there's no expert on this. There's no way to quantify any of it.
Yeah. None of it is provable.
Exactly. I think what we could have is, like, you know, experienced guesses. Yeah. And I've thought of this as well, almost like, you know, they're bleeding through. The realities are bleeding through, and there's these thin points where, yes, we're partially into theirs and they're partially into ours, and there's a crossover. I really do believe that plays a part. Now, does that play a part in everything? No, I don't think so. But I do believe it plays a part in some things. Like, you know, we have some things called residual hauntings, where it's something that has happened in a place before and it keeps, like, repeating. It's like a record that's skipping, that's stuck. And usually that's a place of, like, that person put a lot of energy in there, or it was their home, and there is some sort of real draw, like, strong tie to that. And that is what they call residual haunting, where something just kind of repeats, very loosely repeats the same actions over and over again. But yeah, I do believe that there are realities bumping into each other, like you're saying, especially when we get into some of the cryptids. And, you know, there's two camps when it comes to the cryptids. There's the flesh and blood, like, nope, this is like an ape type flesh and blood creature. And then there's the other camp that believes, yeah, it's that, but there's also, and I hate using this word, it's called woo. There's also the woo. And the woo is like this unexplainable, sometimes spiritual, magical stuff that is associated with these creatures. And
yeah, like a Wendigo or something, as opposed yeah, like they eat human flesh and then you become a, you know, this creature.
Yeah. So yes. And there is, like, creatures manifesting out of nothing, you know. There's, you know, the movie Predator, where they have, like, the shimmer when they cloak themselves. People have seen that and have seen these creature uncloak or cloak themselves as well. So this is something where this camp over here that believes that it's just flesh and blood, they will completely disregard. And so if you start telling them a story about something you've seen, and then you mention something like that, they'll throw your whole encounter to the wayside, to the garbage. And I'm like, well, that's not scientific at all. As much as you don't believe that this can happen, you know, that's not scientific. You have to, as outrageous as some of these claims be, you have to look into them all. And so those kind of things, when we start talking about the woo, where things just kind of appear, or dare I say, portals, people, like these creatures coming through portals, which ties into this bleed over from other realities, which is something that I buy into, you know. And again, do I know? No, I don't. But it's just, it's something that I think is a very high chance of it happening.
Well, when it comes to, like, things like, you know, what we'll, for lack of a better term, you know, just say big umbrella term of, like, ghosts, that I think could be attributed to other realms and other realities. I also kind of have this idea that elk, I don't know if you're from Canada, you know elk, elk, the vision elk, the way elk see and perceive the world, it's something they call edging, which means that they don't really see, everything's pretty flat for them, and their vision's kind of based on movement. They don't see much unless it's moving, then they can see the edges. And So there's a lot of happening around them that they don't always see that is happening. And I'm like, well, why do we assume that we can see everything around us that's happening all the time? We know there's colors we can't see on the spectrum. So there could be things happening around us with these creatures or specters, ghosts, whatever, that we can't even see that's literally happening in front of us at all times.
I totally agree. Sorry about that. Yes, I'm on the rooftop here in Mexico, so every now and then you get horns honking and dogs barking. But yeah, I totally agree with that, that we only see, I think it's like less than a percentage of the actual spectrum, right? Yeah. Of the light spectrum. So we'd be ignorant to say that, oh no, we see everything. Everything that's in this world is everything that we see. No way. That is, I believe that is completely false. I think that's a very narcissistic view of it all. When the military started using the infrared, like in Vietnam, they started using infrared and they started seeing things that started making the soldiers go crazy. The soldiers were starting to shoot in the woods because they were seeing things that weren't there, or were they? So then they quickly took them all back. And that's why whenever you see, you know, soldiers using night vision, it's the infra green, you know, it's that kind of thing. They don't use the red anymore. And that's something that's very interesting. It was in Vietnam, and it kind of ties in with the rock apes from Vietnam as well, when they were able to actually kind of see them. Those two stories tie in together.
Interesting. And it's funny you say that people are of the two camps of like real or some sort of kind of magical otherworldly. And I find that so interesting because, I mean, even there's something that most people don't even realize. Like, the Bigfoot was a literal creature that existed. That's scientific. I mean, it's Gigantopithecus. This is a creature that existed. It was in North America. It coexisted with humans on this continent, as recently as, they say, maybe even 100,000 years ago, there was Gigantopithecus on this continent. So, you know, it was 8 to 10 foot tall hominid primate. And you're like, okay, so this did exist. So we're not talking about a cryptid. You're talking about something that did exist. The question is, does it still exist?
And we're still finding things that still exist. You know, we're being blown away by, you know, certain species that, no, that was supposed to go on extinct. No, you know, we're still finding that. So it's really interesting. Yeah. And you know, like the native folklore, every native tribe talks about these large beings.
Right.
Every native tribe has these stories about them. And I had one interview with a gentleman named Ernie, and his encounter was fascinating. Like, he was 10 feet away from one of these creatures that communicated with him through kind of like a sign language. And, you know, so it's telling you there's a level of intelligence that we are, you know, that we're just kind of disregarding. Again, we're thinking we're, you know, this most senior type of organism on the planet, when in fact, you know, there could be these other creatures. And I know the argument always comes up is like, well, why haven't we found a body? Well, maybe we just, I don't know. Maybe they bury their dead. Maybe they take the dead. I don't know.
Well, they rarely, really never find bodies of bears that die of natural causes.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, it's like, why don't we find bear carcasses that die of natural causes? Well, you know, they go to a deep place in the woods and find a, you know, who knows where they go, you know? So who's to say that this more advanced, smarter primate creature couldn't do that too?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like, you know, or the family takes care of it, you know, like, you know, we bury our dead. We mostly bury our dead, you know. What's to say that they're not doing something like that? They have a spot where they, you know, take the dead and lay them to rest, and we can't find it. Who knows? Right. Maybe they burn their dead, but that I doubt. But
I mean, you know, again, you're from Canada. There's plenty of outdoors in Canada. I lived in the Pacific Northwest, Washington, Oregon, for a long time. And I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of square miles of dense forest that no man has ever stepped foot on. And it's just tenable for them to even get there, let alone trek through it or explore it. So it's like, yeah, there's places that we just have never been to, you know, that we don't know.
Yep. I totally agree. I think that's something that's completely acceptable, like, you know, like believable. And again, we're talking about the woo thing as well. Like a lot of accounts that I get with these Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call them, Booger Man or, you know, or yeah. Wood Booger, that's it, Wood Booger, is orbs and UFOs.
Okay.
Around the same time. And, you know, and as soon as you start mentioning that, like, of course, the other camp is like, no, that's not. Well, it can be. It can be completely unrelated. It can. But there's too much of a coincidence to disregard why this is happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be just a being that's being monitored by, you know, extraterrestrials. Who knows? So that's something that is always needs to be considered, is why is it so common to see these things together as well?
So out of all the stories you hear and tales people tell you and things you've read and stuff, what percentage of it do you think is bullshit? What percentage is real and what's bullshit?
Yeah, there are some out there. And I would even say some people just believe nothing. Okay, so like, I don't think they're bullshitting, like they're making up a story. I think they're creating something that really isn't there. You know, I think it's called pareidolia, where you look at something and you see like a face in it, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, look at this. You know, because in the community, we get this all the time, where there's a picture of these bunch of trees and all of a sudden they do these red circles all around. There's something there. There's something there. There's something here. There's something here.
Yeah, you're in Mexico. You look at a tortilla. Mother Mary's there. Come on.
Exactly. So we get that a lot. I kind of disregard that all. There are some people who have told me their stories and I'm like, well, that's not really anything. You know, like there's sticks crossed. You know, if they see sticks crossed like this, that's a sign. That means this or that means that. And I'm like, or the sticks just fell like that.
You're filling in a lot of blanks. Yeah, filling in a lot of blanks.
So of all the people who have talked to me and submitted stories, I would say that there is about a 10 to 15% that I filter out. Now, the ones that get through, I would say maybe there was 2 or 3 of all the interviews I've done, not just for mine, but for the previous podcast as well, that were slightly questionable. Mm-hmm. You know, like... His main story wasn't questionable. It was kind of like the things after that. And then I had another one who had a great experience and he had pictures as well. And that was very interesting. But then it was kind of like these follow-up things that happened after. It was kind of like he liked the high like being like, yeah, everybody's paying attention to me. So now I start creating these other stories as well. So there's always that. And in the end, you know, I'm not going to judge that. I'll be like, I will let the listeners judge that. And if you don't believe that, it's up to you personally to say, nah, that guy's full of it, or no, I actually believe that. And there are some really out of this world, crazy, almost unbelievable stories. Those ones I actually believe. Like the ones that I've done that were the craziest stories are the ones that, like, you can hear it in their voice. Like I said, the one that I just did prior, my last interview, which was on Thursday, he is still messed up. He is actually still suffering from PTSD from this experience. It was probably like a month long experience of sorts, like a bunch of things that happened to him. Just phenomenal, crazy, the highest strangeness I've ever heard in my life. And I feel for the guy. And I, like, he came to me like thinking maybe I might have an answer of saying, look in this direction or look in this direction. Yeah. And I have a couple of directions for him, but I'm literally reaching out to some of my, you know, colleagues to see if they've ever heard any. And the one guy I did brought up the same things that I did, which was Wendigo or Skinwalker. Hmm. And those are, yeah. So this guy had some just crazy experiences. But like I said, I would say of everything I reach, probably 10 to 15% is I filter out.
And that's just, and then, you know, the rest is kind of, how much is, I mean,
I'll leave it up to the listeners, you know, and personally for myself, though, I tried, you know, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I give my guests the benefit of the doubt. And for most part, I would say 95% of them, I believe them.
Okay. Well, yeah. Now, I mean, in your experience, you had a lot of experience over the years. What's the craziest thing that you've experienced personally?
Other than that, the shadow being, I would have to say the three UFOs at the same time in Chihuahua. So I was in Chihuahua, Mexico, middle of the day. I was at the grocery store bringing my groceries out. And again, like I said, someone's like, look up. I look up and there's this white object. I'm going to say cloud, but it's not really it. People have described it as a plasma cloud, but it is this white thing that just keeps modulating and changing shape, growing bigger, kind of flipping on itself, over itself. And it's up in the sky and it's moving along. And I get my phone out, and this was 2014. So all I had was my Samsung S3 Galaxy, which was not good enough to video this thing. So I called my wife, start talking to her, and I'm like, this is what I'm seeing, you know? And then off in the distance, there's two smaller triangular craft coming in at an intersect course to each other. And I'm looking back and forth. So I never actually saw them join, but they're coming in. And when I look back, it's one and it's going off in one direction then. And so I watched this whole thing for about 13 to 15 minutes. And I'm the only one standing in this parking lot. There's a bunch of other people in the parking lot, but I'm the only one looking at this, watching this. No one else is. They're just going about their day. And this white cloud thing, I've seen a couple of videos of something very, very similar to it. And I'll send you a link to that.
Okay.
And it's just kind of changing on itself. And it was a blue, clear blue sky. So, you know, there's no clouds in the sky except for this thing. And saying it's a cloud is just not right. That's all I can say. It was more solid than a cloud. Some people have said, well, maybe it was a biological entity, because there's this theory about something called sky beasts, that there's these creatures that live in our atmosphere. And I'm like, well, it could have been that, because I don't know what this was. It was a UFO. Nonetheless, it was a UFO, because I have no idea what it was. And it was kind of moving all around. So I ended up coming back with my camera, took some panoramic shots, and then I plotted out where this went. So I have reference for myself, because my memory sometimes is not as good as it should be. So I like to write things down and to document this. So I have all this kind of like pictures where they went, but I don't have any pictures of the actual UFOs that I saw.
So do you ever have to stop and think that, you know, one of the pitfalls of something like this and having such a fervent belief is that it's easy to find things. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. people who don't believe in this at all never see anything. You know, so how often do you have to check yourself and be like, am I looking at a UFO, or am I just seeing a couple weather balloon, you know, like a hot air balloon, and I'm, you know,
all the time. I always want to see something. I'm not going to deny that I want to see something, but I'm going to make sure that it's something that it's not, because I got to be skeptical of what I'm seeing. So, you know, the one time I was doing a recording up here and I see this light getting bigger and bigger and coming here. And that was when I was with my partner. We're like, holy crap, there's a UFO coming here, UFO. And then it turns to the side and we're like, no, that was just a plane.
Yeah.
You know, and we're literally doing a podcast as we're doing this and we're saying this. And, you know, I'm the first one to admit, like, no, I'm wrong. Like, I don't want to be that person claiming something that it's not, you know. And like I said, I see a lot of paranormal, like a lot of ghosts. And in my in-laws' house here in Mexico as well, I see them a lot. Like, there's a lot of things peeking around corners, watching, moving. And I was telling my partner at the time, and I said, yeah, you know, I see things here all the time, moving, you just catch them out of the corner of your eye. And he's like, oh, okay, well, okay. So we're standing there and he's looking into the kitchen. We're sitting outside. He's looking into the kitchen. He's like, and I'm like, what? And he's like, I just saw something dash across and go through the wall, go into the wall. So I was like, okay, yes. So it was kind of that reassurance that, okay, maybe I'm not that crazy. Yeah. I'm not as crazy as I think I am. But yeah, I do see stuff often. And when other people are confirming it, it's like, okay, yeah, that's exactly what I saw. And like I said, you know, there's times where I think it's something, but I make sure, I try to do my best to make sure it is what I'm seeing. You know, like when I was growing up in that house that I said we had a lot of experiences, one time when I was about 10, 12 years old, I was walking outside because I had to go feed the horses outside. And I'm looking into the house and it's dark outside and it's light inside. And I had the computer I was working on the computer and I saw someone sitting at the computer, you know, and it looked identical to my grandma. So I went, fed the horses, came back, and I was like, who's up on the computer? I was working on there, and my sisters and my parents were all downstairs. They said, no one. And, you know, I'm trying to justify that what I saw was them, but it wasn't. So it's kind of like, I am trying to be that skeptic. And I was like, you know, I'm 12 years old. I'm like, no, this person looked identical to my grandma, who was still alive at the time, mind you. And I'm like, no, this there. But of course, in my mind, I'm like, it had to be my sisters because my grandma's not here.
Yeah.
And so after much, you know, arguing, they're like, no, I think they're watching the Oscars or something like that. And like, no, we haven't left the room. We're all, and they're on the main floor. That was on the second floor. There's nothing. There was no one there. And I was standing outside looking in for, you know, 20, 30 seconds. And there was someone there, you know, clear as day. I could see my grandma's hair. It was kind of like this, you know, blondish, grayish, curly, tight curls kind of thing, and glasses. And yeah. So yeah. I'm always trying to, I don't instantly believe. I do want to make sure I am seeing what I'm seeing. And like, you know, when I was watching those UFOs, I'm calling my wife to tell her exactly what I'm seeing. This is what I'm seeing. I see these two triangular craft coming in. I'm seeing this over here. So I guess it's, you know, that's not necessarily being skeptical, but I just want someone else to see what I'm seeing or to know that I'm not bullshit and this is what I see.
Yeah. Now, yeah. When it comes to UFOs, what do you think that is? I mean, do you think they are actually from another planet, from another dimension, or do you think they're just, you know, secret Air Force jets that we just don't know about, you know? Because
I think there's four. I think there's four. There's interplanetary, interdimensional, military black ops, you know, like craft that we don't know.
Sure.
And I actually believe there's some other craft from this planet that and this goes into more high strangeness. I call it like a breakaway civilization. I think there was possibly a breakaway civilization that doesn't want to be contacted, and they're from here. And when you start looking further into our past, when you start going into Atlantis, which a lot of people think is a joke, do you actually find out there's a lot more information pointing to Atlantis than we know?
Plato wrote about it.
Plato did, but there was another person who referenced it as well. There is more than three references of this land.
I think there's something about it. They talk about something similar to it in the Bible, even, that they say. Anyway, the timeline, as well as the timeline of like the Great Flood being what would have when it kind of it stopped being talked about in history also.
Yeah. And yeah, I believe that there was a much more advanced civilization. And we think we're the epitome of technology, but no. I think we knew things a lot further back, and that was lost. And, you know, we're kind of starting over. It's kind of like if you had all this technology and all of a sudden there's a big, huge EMP blast and we can't do anything with it, we pretty much have to start back. I don't want to say from square one, but we have to, you know, fall way back and start to rebuild again. And how to build these devices, you know, maybe there was a big catastrophe where a lot of people died, you know, then we're going to try to rebuild these devices without really knowing, you know, there's going to be some smart people, but I believe some technology is going to be lost. And I think that is what happened.
Well, there's some, you know, scientists, you know, Graham Hancock, Randall Carlson, people like that, who believe that we've had multiple rises as a civilization and collapses back to total dark ages. And lost all that.
The greater or the younger dryad period is one of them, where there was a great deluge. We're talking about the flood almost. Like this is one of them. Yeah, Randall Carlson talks about that a lot. And Graham Hancock talks about, you know, like some sort of ancient apocalypse that kind of stemmed everybody and kind of stopped everybody. And then we had to start over again. And I almost want to believe that that has happened more than once. I think we're much older than what we are, and I totally believe. Yeah, Randall Carson's actually a good friend of one of my best friends, and they do a thing with him almost every year up in the Scablands.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow, I'm jealous. That's great. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his work. You know, and it's interesting how the scientific community dismisses him and Graham Hancock so much, you know, because it just goes against the narrative that they've had for so long. Mm-hmm. That it you know, just changes everything. You can't, they, you know, just trying to rewrite history, and it's like, well, no, just trying to get it right.
Exactly. And you know, isn't that science where, you know, we just have to keep accepting new hypothesis, not accepting new hypothesis, but listening to new hypothesis,
right,
and possibly change our point of view. You know, some people are just so, the ego is too strong, and they're like, nope, this is what it is, and it's nothing else.
Yeah.
Like, no, we have to start coming around and start listening to all sides and, you know, move on.
Yeah. Well, the idea that UFOs live in, you know, whether it's tied to Atlantis or in the ocean, there's evidence of things like that. You know, there's a lot of naval pilots that have seen ships or, yep, you know, crafts that go into the ocean. There's that the Nimitz. I don't know if you're familiar with that. So the UFO that's on the SS, it's a Nimitz, which was a ship in the U.S. Navy. These naval pilots were out, and they caught something on radar that was following them, and it went from 30,000 feet above sea level to 500 feet above sea level in less than a second.
Ridiculous, crazy.
So, you know, and I mean, they had it on radar, they're following it, and then it, like, their devices crapped out, and then it went to where they were going to go do these maneuvers, so it, like, knew what they were gonna, where they were gonna go.
Yeah.
It's just in things like that where you're like, how do you, what's the explanation for this, what are we, you know, people just dismissive about it again, or just ignore it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is really crazy, and I don't know where to go with this. Like, I don't know why the disclosure is happening now as well. You know, everything is happening now, and it's almost to the point that when this, all this disclosure is happening, that now I'm kind of like questioning it even more. I'm like, well, why is the government coming out and finally saying, yeah, this is legit? You know, what's up their sleeve?
What are they distracting us from?
Right. You know, like, everything, like the Mike Tyson and the Mike Tyson fight, you know, and I'm like, what's that distracting us from?
Sure,
what about this? There's always a distraction. So it's nice to hear that someone else is paying attention and knowing that there's distractions. Like, there are these distractions, and, you know, are UFOs a distraction? Yep. I believe in some way they are, you know, and like the ones that are being broadcasted on TV, I think it's some sort of distraction. And that leads into Project Bluebeam, which is a whole other episode.
Well, here's when I knew there was fuckery afoot. I mean, I've always, you know, we already talked a little politics. You know, you can probably surmise how I feel about the government and how much we can trust them. But when I knew there was real fuckery on this topic afoot was when they decided to start using the acronym of UAPs, calling them Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. And when they did that, anytime someone tries to control the language, you know that they're manipulating you. And they do it, you know, whatever fucking reason they said they did it for. But now people are so dumb and they don't pay attention. They have such a short attention span that if an article comes out and says UAPs, they don't know what that even means. There's no connection. There's not that connection to whether it's aliens or whether, you know, it's a secret craft. They just don't know what it means. They're not going to look it up. Where if it says UFOs, that same headline might grab them differently. So now they are able to control the narrative, control the language, and manipulate people on like a micro level without people even realizing it.
I totally agree. Yeah, we're on the same camp as that, and on that as well. You know, as soon as they change it to UAP, like I posted a meme of a meme making fun of that in my Facebook group. It was kind of like, yeah, I totally agree. It's like, no, they're UFOs, and that's what they're going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree.
They just want to find a way to, you know, make you unfamiliar with it or feel like it's not. Oh, sorry, my dog is all over me. So what is your ultimate goal doing this? I mean, do you hope to someday have some proof, some evidence, you know? Well, are you out there seeking it out? I mean, one of those guys wearing, you know, with EKGs running around just, you know, fucking broken down buildings.
Personally, for myself, I want to give people a platform so they can come and speak their truth.
Yeah.
And by doing so, it empowers other people who've had these types of experience to think, I'm not alone, and for them to step forward as well. Almost make a community that way. But it's also then to maybe try to find some answers. And I feel, though, whenever we get some sort of semblance of an answer, you know, we actually get four more questions. One answer, four more questions is kind of what happens. But that's what I want. I do want to eventually, like, go explore some places. If I find something, I find something. But it's more of like there's certain places here in Mexico I want to go to, like the Zone of Silence. That is one place that is I really want to go check out.
Yeah, there's a lot of haunted places in Mexico.
There are.
Did anyone ever tell you the story about the horse face lady down there?
No, I have not heard.
Ask
that.
Around. Someone's got to know that tale. It's an old.
I'll definitely ask my wife. Yes, she's Mexican, of course.
Yeah, it's an old kind of horror story, kind of scary story they used to tell kids and stuff. I don't know if they're what the origins of it are, but well, Rye, one day I would. I know you got to go. I would love to share with you. I actually lived in a very, very haunted house for 5 years.
Okay. Well. Then I'm going to have you come on then, Deez.
Yeah, I would love to. It was quite an experience because I've always been open-minded and I never believed but didn't believe. I just had no experience. And then I moved into this house and the things that happened are unbelievable. The things that happened in this house. And I lived there for over five years. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. We're definitely going to have you on definitely in the future here. We'll keep in contact, Deez.
Yeah.
I feel we have a lot in common, and I don't see why we won't be in contact.
Sounds good. Well, Rye, I know you got to go. So tell everyone where they can find you, how they can follow the show, follow your Instagram, etc.
Yeah. So my Instagram is kind of stagnant. It kind of doesn't get much use as I'd like it to, but YouTube, that's where mostly you'll find pretty much all my content. You know, it's Codega's Codex of Curiosities. And then of course, Facebook. I am on TikTok as well. Not really that active, but all audio platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple, everywhere else. So yeah. That's where you can find me. And I appreciate this a lot. I really appreciate this, Deez.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, find him, follow the show, and take a listen and have yourself an experience and open your mind a little bit. And as for me, again, go to DeezComedy.com. Check out everything going on. Live dates coming soon. I'll be coming to a town near you. So check it out. And that's it, guys. So we're going to get out of here this week for the Social Hour. I've been Deez, and for Rye, thank you all very much. And we will see you all next week.